It's like a slice of bread. What you're saying is you cut off the crust and leave the nice gooey middle.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly. However, that doesn't work for me. I actually like the crust of bread, especially if it's fresh bread. That's my favorite part.
French bread or fresh bread?
Fresh and or French bread.
Either will apply.
So speaking of bread and French bread, I'm going to go on a tangent. So my wife makes this French toast casserole. She preps it like the night before and puts it in like one of those cake pans and sets in the fridge, and then she can bake it in the morning. It's pretty darn good. I'm not going to lie.
Never had that.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Sounds good.
I don't think you're ready for this jelly.
Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready. Are you ready? Sin's ready. I know Gator's ready. Everyone's ready. Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to episode 32 of the Guardian Hub podcast, where we talk Destiny and our experiences in the game. We spotlight different guests and communities and talk about uplifting experiences in Destiny the game. This is Kingsley Mack and Sin. How are you doing tonight, Sin?
I'm doing pretty good. I got a lot done today. Mowed the grass, chased the kids, played a little bit of PC, and played a little bit of PS4 for Destiny. So I've been doing pretty good. How have you been doing?
That sounds great. I've been doing pretty good, too. I kind of had a lighter day of work today and played some Destiny and did some good work. And I think I did something outside. I don't remember what. But got some things done and... Now we're here, excited to talk about it. What's going on?
And tonight we also have a guest.
Yes. Who's our guest, Sin?
You might know this guy. I hear he is the real of this particular animal. And he is also one of our podcast homies. You might know him from the Guardian Downcast, the Gator. How are you?
How's it going, guys? Thanks for the invite.
How are you doing?
Very good. Now I just came back.
It's going.
Yeah. Yeah. Doing real good. Doing real good. Just came back from my movie review for the week and mixed feelings, but I guess I'll talk about that tomorrow a little bit.
Oh, you never actually told us beforehand what movie you actually went to see.
Well, I will tell you that. It's we did see Zombieland Double Tap.
Oh, I want to see that. Oh.
Now, can we get an exclusive preview of your thoughts on it? Or I'll tell you my thoughts on the show, even if you don't want to tell yours.
Sure, I'll spill it. Well, I don't know if you guys saw the original Zombieland.
Yes. Yeah,
I did. I love the rules, how they post, how Jesse Eisenberg, he would say the rule and it would get posted, in the, an overlay in the movie. And yeah,
it's fun.
They did that this time too. It was really cool to watch. And, it's just more of the same. I thought the story was a little weaker. I was stirring in my seat a little bit versus the first movie. But if you're a Zombieland fan, then definitely go see it. It's a lot of fun. There are a lot of good laughs in it.
Well, it's a pretty good review. And I feel the same way. I was maybe just a titch more up on it than you, but it sounds like we both really enjoyed it a lot. I was going in expecting actually way worse than I felt. Sometimes that helps, right? You go into a movie and you're like, I'm not expecting too much of this. And then it ends up being a little bit better. But I enjoyed it a lot. I felt like it was a great sequel.
Well, I'm sorry. I meant to mention, I my wife is very critical of movies and slapstick zany movies, which I love to see. She's not such a fan of. So I have to kind of sell her on it before we go in. And I'll go, now, honey, remember, this is a slapstick comedy. This is not it's not going to be any decent story. Just go with the flow. It's just a little advent, it's just a good time, And I think there were a couple people behind me. We were in kind of upper middle deck. people on the very upper deck, I think, were a little imbibed with something. And and they were laughing during the wrong parts of the movie. Let's just say that.
Yeah, that can kind of ruin it. And I know what you mean about slapstick. Like, I like movies that borderline slapstick. Like, I don't like the super goofy, like stupid, like, oh, punch someone in the face and laugh or whatever. But movies that can kind of be slapstick that have some smart humor built into them. And I felt like this movie had that. And it was similar to the first one and a good enough storyline. And I'll just say, like, when their quote twins came out, I was just laughing so hard at that part.
That was the best part of the movie. Yep. I'll give you an example. Super Troopers. You remember that, right? That movie about the Canadian
The original one was
so funny. I was rolling on the floor. The second one, maybe it's just because I was older. Maybe my sense of humor was a little less naive, I could say. But the Super Troopers was a movie that was really good on the first one. But the second one was kind of like, this is kind of stupid. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you like to watch movies a lot, and we know that because, you know, I've been on your podcast before, and anyone who has listened to your podcast knows that you like to review movies. So everyone, please continue to listen in, or if you haven't been listening yet, to The Guardian Down, because not only do they talk about Destiny, but you get to hear movie reviews, and I think that's a plus, right? That's a fun little...
It's definitely a plus, since we don't get it from Amp anymore.
Yeah.
Jay. Oh boy. Well, don't, it's we not still, a professional
we still,
review.
We still love Jay. We still love Jay.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We just had an episode with him. It was a fan. It was, I think it was our best episode to date. It was just amazing. And we had Xanafan 7-Eleven on last week. It was really good too. We're starting to really gel, I think. Starting to really have fun doing it.
No, that's true. And I can tell. And I can tell you guys love what you do. I do want to talk, you know, a little bit more about your podcast, too, for people that don't fully know it yet. But I think if we just kind of go with the timeline, we don't have to give a lot of details because we've heard all these things, you know, as we circle our podcast. But what's something in gaming that has been meaningful to you in your life? It doesn't have to be anything big, but something that you can think of recently of like having a fun experience playing with someone, you know?
Gosh, so many memories. My earliest one was when my dad brought me to Sears Roebuck, and I waited in line out the door for the Pac-Man that just came out for the Atari 2600. And I knew that was the shiznit. That was really, I mean, that was the bomb back then, having a Pac-Man game that you could play at home, you know, instead of going to the game, you know, to the arcades. More recently, gosh, I have so many great times with raids. And I was with a clan called Fake TV Friends right before Forsaken. In fact, that's when I joined up with the Dad Tales podcast clan after that. But so many good times. We would do a lot of raids. I think I've got 53 under my belt, which is probably compared to you guys is nothing. But we would do that. What is that beta thing they have where you can bring in somebody who hasn't done a raid before or something?
The guided games?
Yeah, the guided games. You know, we'd be short. No, that's what I meant. We'd be short a person for the night. And we'd be like, oh, you know what? Let's do a guided game. Let's make someone's night, you know? And we'd Sherpa them through it. And had just good times. Really good times.
Yeah, it really is these experiences that we have playing with others and learning from others that makes a game like Destiny special. I mean, other games you can get that too, but I feel like in the community that we have with different Discords, and we all kind of feel this way, right? It's like if someone needs help with something, we almost like are chomping at the bit. Oh, a new player's coming up and they need help with this quest. Yeah, let's jump in and help them, right? Or someone hasn't done the raid yet. If you love raiding, you love to help out the new person who hasn't done the raid yet. And I think there's really something special there, and hence one of the reasons why I wanted to start this podcast, to have great guests on and hear from them, and you know, hence why we have you on tonight. Now, for those who haven't heard the Guardian Down podcast yet, first of all, shame on you. But second of all, we have one of the hosts of the Guardian Down podcast with us tonight. And I kind of wanted to ask you, what was the impetus of why you started it, because not everyone may know that, and what kind of just got you off your feet to finally get it started.
Well, I was an avid podcast listener. I listened to Dad Tales podcast, Amp. I listened to Bads. Now I listen to you guys too. I listened to, I don't know if you guys knew this, but I listened to Destiny Reset podcast a lot. And I think I've listened to all the Destiny podcasts, Dan Finity's podcast he had out or has out. I've listened to those. And I really particularly like Jay, a.k.a. Gear Dad's podcast, because he was having some tough times, you know, early in the AMP podcast time. We talked about that a couple episodes ago. And then he switched gears and started interviewing people from the community, you know, that we talk to every day on the Discord channels, but we really don't know much about them. We just know their gamer tag that we're staring at, you know? And once he had to quit doing that, I was like, no, that was such a good thing. I loved that, that he was interviewing people from our local community. And, I don't know. I can't explain it. I said, you know what? I've never done a podcast in my life. What the hell? Let's do it. So I threw caution at the wind. I learned how to use Audacity. I learned how to use OBS and Discord. And I said, oh, you know, and I tell everybody in the podcast, this is kind of my selfish way of getting to know people in the community. Cause I'm kind of late to the party here. The Dad Tales guys, the Distinguished Gentlemen, I guess they call themselves now, you know, Just Some Guardians. It's now Gamer Score Radio now. All those guys, Barely a Destiny or Bads, I guess. All those guys, I really don't know them as much as a lot of the people have been here a long time. And now's my chance. I can invite people in and pick their brain and find out what they're all about, you know, what their daily life's about, you know, what really got them going in gaming and, you know, why do they love this game so much?
Yeah, that is true. It is nice talking to people. Yeah. Did you ever have any thoughts even before AMP started of like, oh, it'd be fun doing a podcast, or do you feel like that really just came to fruition afterwards?
I think FUD said it best when I was on his podcast. He says, you know, did you ever try to finish people's sentences when you were listening to the podcast? Like someone would ask a question to their guest and you'd go, ooh, ooh, you know, you're doing a Cotter. Ooh, ooh, I got an answer. I got an answer for that. And welcome back, Cotter. I'm referring to for the, all those young guys out there. You know, it's really weird. I didn't think I could do it. I was scared to death of doing it. And I'm when I grew up, I was a very, very shy kid. I mean, terribly shy. I wouldn't talk to girls. I had a small group of friends, and I guess now I'm making up for it. Once I got into retail out of high school and had to talk to people, I guess all those years of being silent, now I just talk people to death.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's, I guess maybe a little birdie in my head told me, hey, you ought to give this a shot. But then there'd be a bigger bird on the other side of my brain going, you kidding? There's no way you're going to be able to do this. Mm. And finally I just said hell with it and just did it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. It doesn't, you know, I think that's for a lot of people getting started. There's this kind of, you know, like what if they start what ifing themselves or doubting the fact that they can actually do it, but really it's not that hard. You just click record, you put something out there and, you know, take the feedback and keep growing. It's, I mean, now that we say that, now that we've done it for a little bit of time, we make it sound easy, but we were all there once. We were all there starting a podcast.
You know what's awesome is we're the kindergartners on the block right now from our little community here. I mean, I think we're on episode 14 next week. I mean, you guys are on 32 now.
Time flies when you're having fun.
You know what? I'm always going back listening to my very first podcast just to see how much I've grown and how much things have gotten better and easier to do. Just 14 episodes ago, I'm already looking back and listening to old podcasts. So I'm always a student. I always want to know how to do it better. So,
yeah. Tell us about your lovely co-hosts and how you got them wrangled them in to do a podcast with you.
I gotta get something straight here first, because you guys were kind of involved in this. When I first raided with you guys, and I got through the Scourge of the Past raid, and then we did two raids in one night, and I had never done them before. I was amazed. And I said, I think I said some choice words toward Hazel, my podcast host.
Oh yeah.
I think the words were suck at Hazel. I don't know what I was thinking.
Is that a problem?
I don't know what I was thinking. Cause me and Hazel, we love each other. I mean, I consider Hazel my younger brother, and he, you know, I'm much older than him, but I have a younger brother in real life. He's not as young as Hazel, but Hazel always has a good, smart, I can't cuss here, a smarty butt type comment to make on anything I say. And that I love true. That.
Yeah.
I love that. And early when I first joined this community when Forsaken came out, that's when I joined up with Distinguished Gentlemen, their Distinguished Guardians clan. Me and Hazel would talk all the time, and we wouldn't use Discord. We would use the clan chat was in the companion app, I guess. And me and Hazel would always go at each other with disses and, you know, just little smart little tears at each other. And I just got a good rapport with him. You know, he's a super nice guy. He's always available, very dependable. And he's actually the first guy I thought about when I decided to do this, because I didn't want to go it alone. Heck, no one wants to hear me talk by myself for an hour and a half. No, no. So I asked Hazel, and Hazel says, you know what? This guy named BDG, we've been actually talking about doing something. And I says, that's funny you should say that, because I heard BDG, which is easy. I heard him a long time ago on the Ant podcast. And he had a really good radio voice, and he handled himself really well. And I like to tell you that I'm a genius, and I just put all these two guys together with me, and it was all planned from the beginning. But I have to admit, this was pure dumb luck. The chemistry that we have on the podcast is just dumb luck. It just, I guess maybe it was just meant to be, but we all get to
mention it. Should I not mention that Sin was my third choice? Just kidding.
Sloppy seconds.
You muted him, right?
Or sloppy thirds.
Oh, no, you didn't. Oh, man. No, I was just thinking about
that. Rapport with people, and yeah, it kind of comes together.
That's the first comments I got when we first put our episode zero out, just telling everybody what the hell we were doing. I'd listened to it, and all the people were telling me in our community, said, you guys have really good chemistry. Keep it up. So that gave me the power to just keep pushing forward and figuring it out.
So Hazel and Easy. And, you know, it's kind of funny. It's not like this meant to happen, but we have raided with all three of you guys in different occasions. And it's almost like a competition or something. It's like, it'd be fun to get everyone at the same time, really.
That would be
fun. We're just raiding with you separately, or with Hazel separately, or with Easy separately. But that's been fun.
Easy is on a plane a lot. His job dictates that he has to go out of town a lot, and he might not be on this week's episode. I think he's going to be on a plane at that time. So that's fine.
He sounds like he works more than me.
He's on the road a lot. So and you know, last week he was a single dad pretty much. His wife was out of town, I think visiting family, and he had his two boys he had to watch by himself. So he would be hiding out in his room, checking on his boys to make sure they weren't, you know, waking up and doing something in their house or something. And I respect that, you know, I respect that. And he makes time for it. So yeah, good guys. They're both very good guys.
Yeah. So when you have your podcast, tell us a little bit, something that you feel might be, I don't know, even boring to you, but something that you think is interesting about making a podcast that maybe the listener wouldn't realize. Something, I don't know. It can be anything from editing it to how to find guests. I mean, I have thoughts myself too, or like how to market it. I don't know. Just I kind of want listeners to know what it's like doing this. And, you know, we say it's easy, but I almost want them to say like what's interesting or fun about it too, because again, I really feel like what you said, anyone can start a podcast, and if they really want to, they should.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you should follow your passion. If you really want to do it and you have a topic you want to talk about, definitely do it. I mean, we didn't have podcasts just years ago. We didn't have podcasting. This is something we're kind of on the cutting edge here. I mean, podcasting is something that's just now become very popular. And I guess it's something I've incorporated into my weekly routines now that I didn't have before. So every Wednesday, I'll usually sit down and start whittling out some notes, talk about things I want to do, what I want to talk about. And I have to be honest, every person I've asked to be on the show is like, absolutely, dude, no problem. I'll be there. We figure out the dates that we can meet up. And I'll just tell you right now, we've got the rest of the year already booked out. So
that's awesome.
I mean, we got Isn't exciting. Oh, it feels so good. And I'm a kind of person, I'm very routine oriented. I have to have routine every morning. Otherwise, I just get very scatterbrained and I get kind of flustered if things aren't, you know, organized every day and my routine has to be, you know, so I have to stick to some kind of routine and feel that I'm getting something done. So that's just, I guess, being self-employed. That's what I do. But the one thing I will tell you, if you're thinking about doing a podcast that you might not think about, is editing is a totally different game. You can record, sit down and record stuff, and how good a quality recording or podcast you put out is strictly up to you. If you really want a high quality podcast, then you're going to have to spend more time in editing and cleaning up certain things. And I'll tell you where I got my inspiration from, other than DJ, aka Gear Dad, with I guess it's Gamerscore Radio now, is I don't know if you guys remember the Guardian Radio that used to come on every week.
I think I've listened to it before. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't listen to that.
Oh, I had Mesa Sean, K-Dub, and Mark Turcotte. And I really respect Mark Turcotte. He is so professional in his presentation.
Yeah, I've definitely listened to that one before. I remember it more now. Yeah.
He has another podcast now, and I listen to it too. But I guess for some reason they decided to call it quits and not do it anymore. And I felt like, you know, I lost a little bit there or something too with the Destiny podcast. So I kind of mimic, I think what I've told other people on my past episodes is I've kind of listened to everybody's podcast, kind of taken out things that I like and tweaked them a little bit and incorporated into my show. And you'll know once, if you decide to do a podcast, you'll know kind of what fits and what you want to include in your podcast. And until you do, you just kind of have to feel around a little bit. But I don't know. Does that answer your question in a long-winded way?
Exactly. It does. What about having a Destiny podcast? I mean, the answer may seem obvious, but do you feel like it makes you a better Destiny player? And then the second part to that question, which we can maybe all relate to, do you ever feel like in some ways you have less time to play the game because you're also doing a podcast?
To the second part, absolutely. I definitely am not grinding as much as I used to, being that I have a podcast I have to record every week. And, you know, you think you just show up, you know, and just start recording. No, you have to plan. You have to plan ahead if you want a decent podcast. You have to kind of at least have some ideas in your head of what you want to talk about. It is definitely taken away from my gaming time. But that being said, you definitely appreciate the community a lot more. You appreciate the game a lot more. And I don't know, I kind of lost track with that first question. What was the first question you asked again?
Oh, I was just asking, like, do you feel like, there was two questions. We kind of talked about having time to play the game. And then also, do you feel like, does it make you a better player?
I got you.
I mean, you've put out the segments of the Crucible Tips, which
everybody listens to that.
To have more like tips and stuff built into the podcast that I never get around to. But do you feel like that's kind of made you like, oh, I got to actually know things to say so I can become a better player?
It's very heavily scripted, Kingsley. The little bit of Crucible Tips that I put out are mainly internal dialogues that I've had while playing. I play a ton solo, and I'm used to having to try to figure out how to adapt to the players around me. And that's why I came out with that one. I got to give Hazel credit. He came up with this title, more than just space magic with the Gator, because I'm a warlock and I like to use Nova bombs. So that's the reason we titled it that. And I was talking to guys and said, you know, what can I title this segment, guys, about the Crucible? And Hazel just spit it right out. He says, how about more than just space magic with the Gator? I'm like, done. Perfect. But my very first one that I put out was How to Be a Better Blueberry. And this was mainly thoughts that I've had over all the 5 years I've played this game, where I'm going, why are you doing that, Blueberry? Why are you killing our team doing that? So, you know, I tend to get a little ragey when I play Crucible. I tend to get really involved. And I'm getting better. I'm getting better at biting my lip and keeping it to myself. But you can ask Warcry. I game with Warcry a lot. We play comp, and we just played Iron Banner this last weekend, and it got a little heated. I had to kind of tone myself down and just chill. And I was playing with JC Jesse, and I actually played with one of your past guests, Soccer OG.
Yep.
Dude, that guy's a bomb. Rogi.
And I was even in there for a couple of minutes. Unfortunately,
yes,
I
left
for another commitment, but I wanted to play with you guys some more. But yeah.
Oh,
I
mean, he's so great. Soccer OG.
Yeah.
He's so, this is what I strive to be. I strive to be like a cool guy or a true Vanguard or like a Soccer OG, just totally calm, making the call outs and just slaying.
Smooth as butter.
And I'm getting old now.
Carrying in a backpack.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't think I'll ever be a carrier. I'll always be someone tagging on to a backpack. I've realized in my old age that my Twitch reflexes just aren't what they used to be. So I have to play smarter. And that's kind of a base of my Crucible tips, too, is how to play smarter. And, you know, I came from the Call of Duty environment where it was all about, you know, who saw who first and being able to aim down the sight fast enough to knock the other person out before they see you. And I always hated that. I was like, you know, this crap where you turn a corner and you don't even see who's shooting at you and you're dead instantly. I hate that. That's why I really love Crucible and Destiny, because the time to kill is a lot faster, where you can actually, if you're a good player, you can actually reverse course and turn around and kill the person that's trying to kill you. That takes skill to do. And it takes practice. And the one thing I always tell people, and I got this, I have to credit True Vanguard and Cool Guy for this in their videos, always record a couple games a week and watch them back. You have a DVR built into all your consoles, and it doesn't take much to capture anything on a PC. I mean, I use Action software. I think it was like $60 to license it. And I mean, I can screen capture anything I want and just play it back. And you'd be amazed when you're watching yourself play. You'll go, oh boy, why did I push right here? I should have never done that. That was so stupid. What was I thinking? So that's how you become a better player in Crucible, is to record your gameplay and watch it back. That's such a great tip. That's one tip I'll never forget.
Oh, but I would cringe watching myself play. But you're so right.
We watch other people play games anyway via Twitch or Mixer. Watching yourself back is just, it's almost the same thing, but you're using it as like sports footage, learning to get better.
Well, what's the first thing your quarterback does, Sin, when he goes three and out? What's he do? He goes to the sideline, right? He puts his headphones on, and he's got a tablet in his hand. The guy up in the main building up top, the guys who record all the plays, they send the last three plays to him and say, here's what you did wrong. You need to do this better next time. It's the same principle.
Yeah. Yep. That's what I talk about at work with my sales team all the time, is, you know, practicing your craft and, you know, finding ways to get better. It really does apply here too in the Crucible.
It applies with everything in life.
Truth.
My problem is I don't know if I care to get better in Crucible. Sometimes I have such a mostly hate relationship with Crucible. But
what were we playing on last night? I don't know. It was getting pretty late, and I think it was last night, or it could have been a couple nights ago. I don't know. I was getting pretty salty at whatever it was.
Yeah, I don't remember. I kind of remember what you're saying, but yeah, there's times, I don't know, just, yeah, this is a whole other topic. It would be great to get into too. I did want to say real quick about the Iron Banner. I appreciate your tips. I mean, I feel like I have a similar play style. I want to play like you, Gator, like you're Warlock. I'm Warlock. I love Nova Bomb. I love Arantol also. I want to get better at Blink. Don't you do Blink, I believe?
Oh, I love Blink. And I have the helmet. I have the helmet, so Blink's even better.
I mean, I feel like what you're saying, and I'm a little bit older player also, so I don't feel like I have the twitchy reflexes. Like, I can't lock on aim as quickly as these kids can. And But I feel like I've learned how to work around that, where, especially with having a fusion, I have to just anticipate. I've finally learned how to use my radar where I almost run away more than I try to engage. And I only engage if I know I'll be able to pre-charge my fusion and get them in a spot that's useful to me, because I hardly ever die now from someone shooting me just out of the blue. I'm only going to die if I just missed my engagement and then they actually got up on me first, which is still pretty often, but at least I've learned how to play smarter for my older age. Any tips you can give me on how to practice blink or become a good blinker?
I can. Do you have the Astrocyte Verse helmet? The exotic helmet? It's fantastic. You can't blink without it. It leaves your radar up almost all the time. It comes back very quickly. You know, they did nerf blink and I think later in Destiny 1 because of all the blink shotgunning that was going on. So they made it where blink, your radar wouldn't show up right away. Well, with this helmet, that erases that. So now your radar comes up ultra fast. So if you're like, for instance, if I have a Titan Baron down on me and I know he's coming in to slide shotgun me, I will blink over him. And I will immediately 360 in the air, come back and shoot him in the back with a fusion. Telesto's is the best though. That's my weapon, but now it's being disabled, so I can't use it for now. But it's okay; it'll be back. But with blink, I could tell you is don't platform with it in raids. Definitely don't do that.
Oh yeah,
But go play in PvE. I mean, the worlds are very similar. Go to Nessus and start jumping around and just run some bounties and run some patrols and blink around and just practice getting over the enemy and turn around and shooting him. It just takes practice. The hardest part with blink is knowing how far you're going to blink and how high you're going to blink. And that all depends on your mobility settings. And I usually run a pretty high mobility and a high resilience number. I don't really care about how fast your shields come back.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually I'm going to hide behind recovery. I'm going to hide behind cover and wait for that to happen anyway. And I don't care if it's a second or if it's 1.5 seconds. That doesn't matter to me. I'm going to reset anyway before I re-engage. But yeah, with blink, just practice, just use blink a lot. And it sounds like you love Nova like I do. So you'll get blink every time. Just blink in PvE for a while and even do a little testing. Like if you want to go to the Tribute Hall, and just practice, see how far you blink. Just find out how much distance you're blinking based on your mobility. But your mobility affects how far you blink and how high you blink, I believe. I'm never really scientifically exact on this stuff. It's just a feel thing for me.
Oh, I get it.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that could probably fact test my stuff that I say on my podcast, and they'll go, well, actually, Gator, you don't blink farther, you blink higher. I'm like, okay, I feel like I'm blinking further. Okay.
Actually, that's an Ahamkara, not a dragon. I always do that. Joke.
You know what I mean, though.
But yeah, but, I know what you mean.
But the,
I probably could. I've just been scared to try. I tried it a little bit in D1. And not enough to give it a gentleman's try, but I was like, whoa, this isn't working out for me so well. But then again, I didn't have as many hours in a warlock yet. Right now, I know what you mean. Like, I have the warlock floofed down so well, and I know what parts are annoying. Like, the horizontal movement's horrendous, right? You know, you bump into something and it takes 2 years to correct yourself, you know?
It's very bad.
But, you know, we hopped into the new raid and there were some jumping puzzles. And other than me going the wrong way for a second because I was checking something out, other than that, like, I have no problem, like, hitting all my jumps and lining on platforms and everything. So hopefully I can have the courage to try blink again. I think you've helped me out.
Well, Fluffy sold. I mean, I used to blink all the time and he was wanting to get that Astrocyte Verse helmet. And now that he's got it, he's realizing how much fun it is to blink. And I think he's shotgunning right now from what I heard last time.
Ooh, it's one of the nasty warlocks, huh?
Yes, yes. I don't like shotguns. I really don't. I know they're easy to use. And yeah, you got a big circle on your screen to shoot people in the chest with it. I like to challenge myself with weapons that people don't use a lot. And I don't use a rental much. I actually use Prolium. I use Prolium. It has a 500 charge rate. It's very, you know, it's not a real high impact, real far range on it, but it But I tell you, if you blink over someone and immediately charge your fusion rifle, your Perlium up, and shoot someone in the back like a Titan that's running at you, it's very effective at close range, just like a shotgun.
Nice. Yeah. Have you tried Wizen Rebuke?
I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan, Sin. I tried a couple different setups. I tried one with backup plan. I tried one with max range. It seems like the sway is much worse than in a rental. It has the same, almost the same impact in distance range as the rentals, but for some reason, I'm just not, it's not gelling with me. I need to play with it more. I've got a ton of them last Iron Banner. I just need to sit down and play with them.
Well, I'm not a fan either. And trying all the different fusion rifles, I really feel like Erentul can like map those further shots easier than most fusions. And so that's where you get the nasty, like sniper range.
It's the kills, impact,
you know,
it's the impact. Yeah. That's the reason. Yeah. You only need four bolts to kill people. That's because your impact is crazy high on that gun. So there's more, it's more forgiving. Sorry, Sin, I was interrupting you.
No worries. I was going to say my Wizen Rebuke, mine's not the curated role that came with the quest. It was, I have one with high impact reserves and I'm trying to think. High impact reserves, threat detector, and then I have a projection fuse and a red dot micro. The impact isn't max, but it's super close.
That's about the max range you can get on that rifle. With those, with that, with that sight, that's that red dot micro is the farthest you're going to get on a sight. And what did you say your second perk was?
Projection fuse.
Oh yeah, that's the max. That's also the max range.
Yeah, so I have it. It's basically almost max range, max impact. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it tells me the exact number looking at it where in game where I'm looking at it now, but
I know I've gotten killed by it plenty of times, but I just can't, I just got to go test it out. I got to go find out where the sway is on it. I know Dim tells you which way the gun sways. I tend to put on fusion rifles. I tend to put target adjusters on more than I do. You know, everyone usually wants to throw a counterbalance mod on there to keep your side-to-side sway better. I'm more sold on the first one because it gives you a little bit more range. It doesn't tell you you're getting more range, but in order to get better target acquisition, more stickiness, you're basically having to get more range. So artificially, that perk is creating a little bit more range for your gun in order to proc that stickiness.
Yeah, exactly. I have target adjuster on my Erentul. I have an Erentul with the signal scope and projection fuse range masterwork and targeting adjuster.
That's a good, I love
and that moving sight. Target. So pretty good.
So if you're aiming down the sights and you got a Titan trying to jump over you and shotgun you, or you have those little pesky hunters that like to jump around you in the air and shotgun you on top of the head, at least with moving target, you can scope in onto them a little bit faster.
It's beautiful, especially the up and down movement. You know, it's one thing with controller, you don't have as good left and right movement, but up and down you can do well. And I'll have a hunter, I'm locking in and he tries to jump over me real quick and I just flick that up and still get him in the air and it works pretty well.
I wish you could put a fourth perk on there. I love fusion rifles. The reason I love fusion rifles so much is because there's shotguns and hand cannons and pistols and sidearms. There's all that in Call of Duty. Only Destiny has fusion rifles. And that's what I love about. That's why I like using fusion rifles. When I first used one in Destiny 1, I was like, whoa, it just disintegrated that enemy. Oh, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Loaded Questions is my bay in PvE. You know, I haven't rocked that for a little bit, but I'm ready to bring it back out again. I've been cheating on it for too long.
Can I just clarify one quick thing? Did you just call Loaded Question your bae?
Oh, yeah. I'll admit to that.
Is that kind of like, that's totes yeet yo?
You know, totes yeet yo is even more of a cool saying than bae.
Is that a new rock band or something?
It might as well be.
Is that Toto?
Totes yeet yo.
Yes, we're down in Africa.
In our Discord, where we like to talk about
millennials and Gen Alphas and Gen Zs
and Boomers and Gen Xs and
just where for the Kingsley record, was proven to be a Boomer.
just for the record, I'm a Gen X. I'm a Gen X gamer. You are.
And I am too. And then, and then the joke is that I'm a boomer. I'm like, you do realize boomers like my parents' age.
Yes, yes.
But anyways, yeah, we have fun time. Aren't Discords great? You know, when people start joining, you have fun conversations. I love your guys' Discord. There's a lot of fun conversations that go in there all the time.
Oh, our community is, I mean, when I first opened that Discord, I was like, please, sir, can you come to my Discord channel, please? Just say hi. That's all I care. Just say hi, and you can go back to Dad Tales and all the other guys out there. I don't care. And I'm just amazed. We got flooded with people. And, oh, my God, our community is awesome. And the Discord questions never disappoint, especially for my good old uncle from across the pond. My uncle Scum Death, he's my pal. We're both into gardening. And one day I'm going to go over there and see what kind of stuff he's growing. But, yeah, I love that guy. He's always so positive. So, and his questions are way off the wall.
Yeah. Now, what's going on with all these in Discord interns or podcast interns? I have no idea what's going on. And mom bots and dad bots. And
what is
going on in our community these days?
I was talking to Jay, aka Gear Dad, about this. And he goes, you know, it brings back such great memories. Because when I first opened my Discord with AMP, the same thing happened. We started getting dad and mom bots and all these impersonators coming in. And I have a feeling there's a group of three people that I have a feeling I know who's doing all this, but I am not at liberty right now to talk about it. But I have my ideas, but I don't want to call anybody out because it's good fun. Everybody behaves, you know, everybody's behaving. You're not putting anybody down.
And I have to know. That's got to be the exclusive. This is where you got to hear the exclusive theory crafting of the interns.
I have a theory. I'll just blame something on Drafty just because that's fun. I bet he has something to do with something. But
no. Well, Jay gave me three names, and let's just say Drafty was one of them. I'll give you that exclusive.
I mean, we can all kind of understand that, right?
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
I love Drafty.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, Drafty's a good guy. Good memories of raiding with him and his son. And boy, that's another interesting thing that's been going on in our community is the generational aspect of gaming. There's a lot of people in these Discords where it's like a father-son, where two generations are in the same Discord and playing the same game.
That's awesome. Yeah, and our last guest was was Steve with Barely a Day, Bads, the Bads Clan. Xanafan 711, he talked about how his dad just turned 60 and he's a big time gamer. And I'm like, he plays Sniper Elite and Destiny. And I'm like, oh man, I tell my dad about that. I just had breakfast with him the other day and I said, well, late night last night. He goes, what were you gaming? I was like, yeah. He goes, okay. He's a builder. he has no concept of gaming other than he bought me an Atari. And I said, you bought me an Atari when I was a kid. It's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I wish my parents were into gaming. That would be, wow, that'd be so awesome.
Yeah, well, I enjoy playing with my son and with my wife some, and so that's a plus, but none of them seem to be in it as much as I am.
Yeah, I get that. My wife, she says she's not a gamer, but every time we're watching TV or something, she's playing Bejeweled on her phone. So, yeah, she's not a gamer, right? She's not a gamer. Mobile games are like what the biggest grossing games right now out there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Crazy money they're making. Yeah.
That's still a game either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got
counts.
It was mostly for my wife, but I got the Apple Arcade Plus gaming subscription, $5 a month. It's for the whole family, but you have a huge package of games that are high quality games, no ads, fully unlocked, everything's included. And so she's been enjoying that.
Very nice.
So, let's see. There was another topic I had in mind. Oh, yeah, about how we feel about the game of Destiny right now. Obviously, we've heard from our podcast. We're up on Shadowkeep now. It's been out for a few weeks. How do we like it? How do we feel about A, the activities, B, the power grind, and C, if we had any things we'd like to change, what would they be? I'll start with you. Or I'll start with Sam. Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say Gator can go first.
Oh,
because I'll have a rant. Okay. I have a rant tonight.
Let Gator go first then. Okay.
I'll lay the groundwork and you guys can tear it apart. I've told people on past episodes, I'm the biggest time waster. I usually don't have much time, you know, before I head off to work. I'll play a little bit in the morning before I head to work and I'll grab some bounties. The one thing I love about Shadowkeep now is that Destiny is rewarding us for doing anything in Destiny right now. I mean, I know I'm getting about 7,500 XP on my battle pass, or whatever you want to call it, season pass bar, every time I turn in a bounty. So I have gotten really good at being super efficient at knocking out 3 to 6 bounties in about 20 minutes. So that's why I just flipped rank 87 on my bar. As far as the moon,
that's a lot.
There is a lot going on at the moon, probably more than I can't keep up with the weekly stuff. I started doing the beginning stories, you know, you repeat the story and there would be a little extra thing at the end of it where you would have to do something for Eris, find a memory of one of her teammates. I'm so far behind on that right now. And the nightmare hunts, I did run nightmare hunts 1 week. After that, I've just kind of tapered off and it's just, I can't explain it, man. I want to do stuff on the moon and I've done the, you know, the Vex encounters and all that. They're a lot of fun, but for some reason I've just gravitated towards doing bounties. I guess I'm just trying to get my light level up where I can comfortably do anything I want. And I think I'm at 948 right now. So I'm getting up there where I can actually start raiding and start enjoying some of the higher level stuff. But I'm looking at these nightmare hunts that are coming out now. What are they, like 980 light? Just crazy light levels. And then you got all these modifiers involved, and I can't even keep up with all of them. And the second thing is the armor. I have not even sat down, even attempted to min-max my armor yet. I'm just trying to get everything leveled up. I guess that's just been my mindset, is just get everything leveled up, keep infusing as I go along and on my favorite weapons and just go from there. So that's kind of where I'm at on everything now. What do you guys think?
No, that's good. And any, you know, that kind of explains it well. Sin, how do you feel about the state of the game right now?
Overall, I really, really like it. So there is a lot to do. I'm not quite as far on my seasonal rank as Gator, just with my limited time. I did reach earlier tonight rank 41 on the seasonal rank, so I'm still making progress. And just kind of shows you the little bit of time that I've played, I'm still going to hit all 100 ranks before the end of the season. Not a problem. I was a little disappointed when going into the raid, the couple raids that we've done in the past week. You know, we did what? Last Wish and then Garden of Salvation. Garden of Salvation, we got to second encounter. I think you all finished on the third. It was getting late for me. Last Wish, we tried to help somebody through the other day. Two people through, right?
Yes.
And they just feel different. And I think part of that was because we were relying so heavy on Warlock Wells and automatic reloading. And the damage output, obviously, they made a note they were going to change the how that was going to look on the end user side of things. It just doesn't feel the same. And it kind of felt a little off to me when we were raiding. Normally, we were able to get through these even carrying one or two people or trying to show the mechanics. We could still get through them fairly easy. Now it seems like, and that's not that it's a bad thing, but we crutched on having it good for so long that now that you're going to rely more on the mechanics and maybe we just don't have some of the newer strats down. I saw respawns in real life. We were playing with him earlier. I think you had just stepped away, Kingsley. We went back and ran some nightmare hunts and he was using Liar's Handshake and 1-2 Punch and melting the nightmares fairly quickly. So I know there are still strats out there, but with what we were used to, it just didn't feel the same. Overall, I think it's really in a good spot, though.
Yeah. Yeah, on your topic about the raiding, I totally get what you're saying. First of all, I love the new raid. I've only gone through the past the third encounter, and we got to the final room, but then people had to go Beautiful, beautiful raid. I feel like the way the meta of the weapons and the powers in that raid is, as long as you're 940 or higher, it's fairly easy to get to the end. And having things like anti-barrier rounds and overload rounds is what you're looking for. And I think they made the raid in a way where we don't have to rely as much on these warlock wells and everything. But you're right. We went into Last Wish and it was just way off. At first, we were confused about the damage numbers, and people had to remind us, yeah, they've scaled back the numbers, so you're not seeing those million numbers anymore. But still, it's so hard. You're so used to seeing certain numbers, and you're like, well, it's got to be we're just not doing enough damage. I mean, but we can't really know, are we doing less damage, or is it just because the number's been scaled down, you know? So we were just having to rely purely on the DPS bar of how much Cali has, you know, even for the very first encounter. And we're flubbing around, not, you know, we're so used to getting supers back at a certain level. And then we're like, oh, we don't have our super yet. Okay. And we're not getting the auto reload. And we're like, should I do well? I don't know. We know it's not as useful now. So we're kind of hemming and hawing. And then finally I do well. And I don't even know if it's helping much anyways. And then we get to the second encounter, Shirochi. And yeah, we had two newer people, and not everyone had great DPS weapons to bring her down. So that could have been 50% of the issue. But the other 50%, again, is just the way things have changed. And we're actually having to rely on picking up the Eye of Riven again and using that to extend the encounter, and then running out of time because we're not going fast enough. So yeah, it was just a whole different experience, right? We were just kind of like, it kind of put us on our toes. We weren't used to it from running the raid so many times.
Yeah. And I was so used to it for so long going in and just being able to relax and, you know, raid and not have to, I guess you could call it try too hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it definitely was, I would say, a little more sweaty. It you could definitely feel it in that second encounter with relying before on supers back every round, clearing as supers back tethers all over the place, wells, and just having them back for ag clear and being able to go through there. And then you're right, you just didn't feel like the damage was there on Cali to be able to get each section down in time. We ran out of time so many times. It was like, what's going on? That's like your immediate reaction. It's like, what is going on here?
Yeah. And I know it's like, probably people are listening that have done it a lot. Like, it's not that hard, guys, but it's definitely different. Didn't they bring the base level up to 750 also, so that
right,
ads hit just as hard based on our power level? That's the thing. It's like, okay, so if it's going to be an older raid that doesn't give us powerful rewards, then there should be some version of a normal or an easy mode that we can just chill in to help the new players that have never raided before and just want an experience of raiding and not having to super sweat over something. So either, I feel like they shouldn't have it both ways. If they're going to make it close to light level, then give us the powerful rewards and say, okay, this is a raid that's still relevant. Or if they're not going to give us the powerful rewards, then keep it, you know, tailored back somewhere, just be a little bit easier. But I ran into Leviathan the first week, and that one still seemed pretty much as easy. In fact, it was easier than ever now that there's raid banners, which is wild seeing that in the raid. You can go to the dog's encounter and have full ammo and full super just at the very beginning.
That is nice. Yeah. Can I mention, I'm following you guys on the raids, and I just want to mention two things. The Crucible, I forgot to mention that in my last answer. The Crucible, I think, has been the most balanced I've ever seen it. I can pick up just about anything in the Crucible right now and have some success with it. I mean, there's some outliers, obviously. But overall, I'm really happy with where the Crucible's at right now, too. And you're talking about the damage numbers not being as high in the raids. I think that's just part of that adjustment Luke Smith talked about, how they were having to reset the numbers on everything. And
exactly.
I think it's throwing everybody off, too. Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. And I wanted to give a quick shout out, if you don't mind.
No,
I think she listens to this. She's part of the Destiny Reset, the Derp Clan. Is Kitty Fails. I think you had her husband on last a couple episodes ago.
It's honest.
Yep.
She got me through two. I had never done the Last Wish raid. When I joined the community here, I just didn't do much raiding. I was just trying to get to know everybody, and I didn't have a raid group anymore. And she took me under her wing, and I mean, we went to some late night hours getting that last encounter, and it's pretty stressful in Last Wish, where you were inside her, getting the brain, the heart, and you had to carry
the Queen's Walk.
Yes, it was so, oh my gosh, and all her clan mates came in there, and I guess it's the Destiny Reset Red Jacks, I think that's their clan. Mm-hmm. And my gosh, those guys were so patient. They were so patient with my butt, because this old guy, I have to run it a few times. I mean, you guys have probably realized that you have to run. You just have to give me a few reps. Once I get the mechanic down, I can pretty much hone in and do it. And for some reason, I was just having a bad night, but she ran it through twice. And my second run ever, I got the 1,000 voices. So,
oh, you're like Sin.
Nice.
I've had the best luck on raids.
I got mine the first one, by the way, on Last Wish.
Oh my God.
And then I've gotten it two more times, I believe, once or twice more. And I got Anarchy my second run.
Oh, wow. And I got Anarchy in my first run. That was with you guys.
But that's, I still don't have the Crown one, I believe. The Crown ones are still the exotic that I don't have.
Terabyte. I haven't gotten that either. No. But I just wanted to, I know she doesn't, I don't know if she listens to my podcasters in my loop, but I know she might be in your loop. And I've always wanted to reach out to her and thank her for helping me those couple times doing stressful Last Wish.
Shout outs to her. She loves the Last Wish raid. She has the seal for what's the raid one called again for that?
Riven's Bane?
Shadow. Yeah. Riven's Bane. One of those.
Yeah, one of those. I forget. I mean, shout out to her. And in fact, maybe Sin, we need to hook up with her sometime and she can teach us the latest Last Wish strats. Because I feel like I'm blood now.
Right.
She has a really good attitude. So. She's a really good Sherpa.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I didn't mean take away from the discussion.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
If you let me go on a tangent, I will.
It goes wherever. Plus, okay. I was just thinking, I was like, man, I remember leaving that bit in with her and X and that podcast at the end where she came in while he was talking.
Yeah, I remember that.
And oh, my gosh. If you haven't listened to it, it's at the end of the episode that X was in. It's right after the end of the
pretty funny.
Yeah.
I feel like I know good him stuff. Too, good because times. She was always talking to him. He would be in the other, I guess the other room or in the same area. He was doing his own raid and they would always be going back and forth at each other. And I feel like I know him indirectly.
Yeah.
Exonus. Is that his name? Exonus.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Nice.
Well, power level grind is an interesting thing that you guys kind of mentioned, but I feel like it's kind of when you get to either your base is 950 or with your artifact you're like 960 or whatever. It's like, why even worry about grinding from your base 950 to 960? I feel like, what does it matter unless you're trying to do these master level nightmare hunts all the time, which I hear they don't even drop that good of loot. Now the master nightfalls do, but not so much the master nightmare hunts. And I kind of wonder why there is this pinnacle 950 to 960 that's so hard to level up. I was listening to some other podcasts. You basically have to get 80 perfect level ups to go from 950 to 960 because you need each slot. They only go up one at a time. And so even if your RNG is perfect, you have to get all five on, you know, each side or four on the one side. And then you can go up the next level. So it's like, okay, it's like, why stress about that? What does it even matter? Because you can pass the raid pretty easily, 940 to 950. You can do the 950 nightfalls, even the 980 nightfalls if you brought your artifact up to like giving you an extra 10. So you're 950 and you're really like 965 or something. You know, it's like, I just don't get where they're going with this power grind sometimes. And I kind of taken the attitude this time around to like, not worry about it. I feel like there's always been times where Guardians have worried like, oh, I gotta get up to max light. I'm like, dude, you don't need to stress about it unless you're wanting to go in the raid on week one. You really don't need to stress about it.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. It's just something I've been thinking about lately.
Yeah. I don't get why they're going to go so high either. The only thing that would really matter right now for light level is Iron Banner.
Yes.
That's true, yeah.
And don't you think the 950 to 960, don't you almost feel like that's by design? I have a feeling that, because think about it. You're grinding in the past in Destiny 2. You get to your light level and you're like, okay, I'm done. What else is there to play? You know, I think maybe they're just trying to keep that carrot out there and for people just to kind of chisel away at it little by little every day, because it's supposed to be your hobby game, right? You log on, you work on this and work on that. And hopefully you get a nice powerful drop here. Or I guess when you hit 950, it's all about pinnacle weapons then, or pinnacle drops. But, you know, I almost think that you guys have heard about my dream, right? My dream where Luke Smith came to me in a dream.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Sin might not know. But I had this dream. Luke Smith came to me in a dream that there wasn't going to be a Destiny 3.
Yep.
There's going to be a Destiny Online. It's not going to, we're done with Destiny numbers. It's going to be Destiny Online. And I have a feeling this is kind of following that. I think they're just going to slowly raise the power caps a little bit. And remember, the 12 or 15 that we're getting on our artifact right now, that's going to go back to zero in about 50 days, right? So the grind will always be there. Yeah. I think that's how they're going to keep players.
Yeah, and there's more to grind for. It's like people are going to start being super stressed if they want to do everything. We already have the triumphs. That was something to grind for, and the seals. And now we have this grind that's very hard, if not impossible, to get to the max, plus the battle pass, for lack of a better term, of the season pass. I think the season pass is the funnest thing to grind for. That's some, like you said, you can always be picking up bounties and doing something and just leveling up your artifact. That's fun to me, but like stressing about the actual power level, like I couldn't care less, you know?
And I can't get real excited about doing nightmare hunts. I don't know why. I've never been a big nightfall guy. I lost interest in, I used to solo nightfalls all the time. I post vids of them and stuff in Destiny 1. For some reason, it's just changed. Strikes just don't mean much to me anymore. Maybe there's just not enough incentive to do it. But the nightmare hunts and stuff, maybe they're just, I mean, what is there to get? An ascendant shard?
Mods. And I know, I don't know if those are hunts. Mods. Not in the hunts, but
the nightfalls, they'll give you lots of exotics on the higher levels.
Oh, yeah. Right.
That's true.
Ascendant shards and
but,
all
but
that.
But how many exotics? I've got all the exotics. I mean, there's not many new exotics out there, so why not just roll the dice with Xur every week? I don't know. That's just the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah, well, if you need year two stuff, that's good. Year one or two, you can get that. You can get that ice, whatever it's called now.
Yeah.
The random engram you can get, that'll give you everything year one and year two. So new players, great. They can pick up everything fairly quick.
Absolutely.
All they got to do is play the game and pick that up every week. They're going to get all the exotics that there are, except for the ones that obviously are like the pinnacle ones or the quest gated ones.
Right.
But yeah.
And Destiny right now,
I think mods and stuff are really the only other chase that's out there.
And I loved it because I had 1,200 Iron Banner tokens and I just started chucking them. And I got a ton of enhanced mods. I love that. But the game for me right now is the season pass bar. I'm like, okay, what am I working for today? Let's see. What's next? What's coming up on the season pass bar? Okay. I got an exotic emote coming up soon. All right. Let's get to cranking. Let's go do some bounties. That's just been my mindset. I can't get excited about doing these nightmare hunts and stuff. There's not a whole lot of explanation of what impact they have on us. Do you guys feel that way?
No, I agree. And it's especially silly. Okay, at least with the master level, there are triumphs you can pass to get a seal, but the ones in between, no purpose at all other than each higher level up will give you slightly better rewards, whatever that means. There's still some RNG in there, but it's like, just do the basic one if you want to pass off your weeklies, or do the highest one, I guess, if you want to get the triumph. But they really don't give you much as far as the carrot, you know, at the end of the stick.
I don't know. I'm not trying to vent. I'm just trying to understand, why do I need to do nightmare hunts?
Yeah.
I mean, there hasn't been really... Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that part. Don't get me wrong. I want to go play Omnigal. Absolutely. But,
and Crota. Fogoth.
Well, I'll ask you this.
I don't think anybody really wants to play.
You guys
Fogoth,
are
honestly.
You guys are the big raid guys. I'm going to present this question. one of our friends of our show, Lazarus the Lich, asked this question on our show last week. He says, you know, you notice that, you know, you see Crota in the Nightmare Hunts, but you don't see his father. I wonder if they're going to, he believes they're going to resurrect Oryx. What do you guys think? You think he's coming back?
Well, it was certainly weird. And I think someone mentioned this too, that we kind of saw Oryx in the Reckoning. At least it was the shadow of Oryx.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that means we're less likely to see him as far as like programming him in the game and in development. It kind of makes it less likely, but I don't know. I mean, I hope there's so many things I could hope for. I mean, I hope we could even get like old strikes and old rates back. I also hope there's rumors that we might get the Undying Mind strike back because we know we're going to be killing the Undying Mind with the Vex final assault. So that'd be totally awesome if we got that old strike back. You know, we need more strikes in the game to keep it interesting. But will we get Oryx back? I would probably have to say I'm leaning, even though it'd be pretty cool, I'm leaning more towards no, because it just seems like there's not a reason to put that much development in when they still need to be going way more down the road with Savathun and everything else.
Well, last time I saw Oryx, he was floating off in the distance off of the Dreadnought. So that's all we know, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's really more towards lore than raid.
True.
But, I mean, yeah, I mean, I heard that rumor too. I think I heard that somewhere earlier today. And just to touch back on the your dream about the No Destiny 3, the ever expanding universe, you know, I do hope for that as well.
Yeah,
well, I think there was an article released or written today about that where they tried to. It was kind of vague, but they say, "Oh yeah, Destiny 3 is coming," or the this person says Destiny 3 is in the future, but in reality, they didn't actually say that. So we don't really know. They have a long plan ahead of them on what content they're planning for, but it doesn't mean that it's going to be Destiny 3.
Think about this, Sen.
So
guess what's coming out next year? Brand new consoles, right?
Yeah.
So you're gonna have instead of these 500 gigabyte hard drives, who knows what size you're gonna have? You might have 2 terabyte hard drives that can have no problem holding all this data. And you know, there's a bunch of games out there. Look at World of Warcraft and look at Dota and all these other games that have been out for 10, 15 years. What do they do to, I mean, people just download the extra game. I mean, this thing that we don't have enough room and we're worried about putting too much room on people's things. I don't buy that. There's a lot of games out there that have a ton of data and have a ton of downloadable stuff that, you know, for each game. I don't think that's going to be an issue next year. It is now. Because I know I have a solid state drive in my PS4 Pro, and it's only 500 gigs, but I have a 3 terabyte external drive that I store all my library on. So I don't think that's going to be an issue. I really don't.
Yeah.
I mean,
but
people will find a way to play it. If that's the issue, they'll find a way to fix it and it won't matter.
Right.
Yeah. Now we do at least know though that there will be some content going away. I mean, even if we're going to get to this persistent model, which I hope we get to also, but we know, for example, Vex Offensive is going away. How do you feel about that?
I'm fine with it because, you know, I've played it one or two nights now.
The best.
Well, no, I mean, no, it's just they throw so much at you that it's like the other past events, like on my Gator account, I really don't run Forges anymore. There's no reason to. I've got all the guns. I've got everything I want. No real reason to do it. Now, my free-to-play account on Steam, I'm running it because I want a blast furnace and I want all these other guns. But I'm fine with that because, you know, the problem I'm having now, Kingsley, is I'm looking at the moon and seeing all this stuff flashing at me, and I'm going, you know, I think I'm just going to go run some bounties. You know, I'm just going to forget about the moon today. I think the moon could just – I'm just going to push it aside. I'm like, you know – I'll deal with that on Friday. Let's deal with that on Friday. Yeah. I got time on Friday. I can decipher what's going on the moon. I'm going to go run some bounties and do my heavy, you know, my crucible power drop and my gambit power drops and my turn of my bounties to get my powerful drop from the drifter and my, and gunsmith. I do gunsmith bounties religiously every day. So
yeah,
I'm fine. I'm good with it.
Well, Don't sleep on the moon too much. I mean, that's there's those memory fragments are kind of fun because they change every week, and there, you know, there's five. There's one for each member of her fire team, and you know, there's fun little things like ghosts you have to hunt down. Nothing extremely amazing, but I wonder if this will all lead somewhere. That kind of like the nine memories, where if we keep up with all the memory fragments, we'll be able to do something. And then everyone who didn't keep up are like, oh no, now we got to run those, you know,
kind of trust like me. It's on my
Dreaming
list.
City, you know, people that kept up with that were able to get the title a lot sooner.
Yeah. It's on my list. Trust me. And I've been thinking about trying to get the title done, but the problem is, Kingsley, is this is such a short season. I'm really don't know if I'm going to have time to get that title done. It ends at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of grinding you got to do for that title, man. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of Vex offensive stuff.
And that's just Undying, right?
That's
yeah.
Just Undying.
That's just Undying. And,
yeah. There's another title, but that one's way harder to get, but that's for just the Shadowkeep title.
Yeah. That's more raid oriented and a lot of different, a lot of crazy stuff that you really need a good raid team to do.
But, well, yeah, the game's in a good place, though, and I was skeptical going into this season that people are saying, oh, things are going to change, and it'll be alive, and we'll learn more as it goes on. I'm like, well, we'll see, but then again, sure enough, there's these memory fragments changing every week. There's the Ikora building, the Vex gate behind her that's changing every week.
Isn't that awesome?
So I feel like they're doing a pretty good job with it, and if they can keep this up, I don't know what can make the next couple seasons keep up. It's not like they can have a dungeon every season or a raid, but even if they do a little bit of that, I'll be extremely happy.
Can I say
I
this
mean
too?
They certainly could have all that. I mean
yeah,
I mean they really could. Yeah, I mean,
the most if you think about it, raids is usually like within a year's period. They usually three is the most you've seen in a year, so even if they keep that level, I'd be happy.
Can I just say this,
you know, some of them being smaller, yeah,
I'm loving that they trickle the content out. I love it. I love that they're spoon feeding it to us, because in the past, you know, they throw it all on the plate. There you go after it, and you just get overwhelmed, especially in Forsaken. When I first got into Forsaken, I was overwhelmed. I almost had a nervous breakdown. I was like, "What the hell am I supposed to do here? I got so much stuff flashing at me. I don't know what." I was freaking out. Mm-hmm. I love how they're slowly trickling out the story and slowly. I love how they're slowly building that Vex gate behind Ikora. It's exactly what Luke was talking about, though. Luke Smith, when he talked about the state of the game and stuff, it's exactly the way he says it's going to happen.
No, it's good. It's definitely good.
And the trickle feed is not like a time-gated quest that you get like they have in the past.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Where you see the quest there in front of you, but you can't complete it. Everything that they're releasing in the trickle feed, like the Leviathan's Breath, which was just released this week, yesterday to be exact, when we're recording this, obviously, but what it took maybe people a couple hours to complete. They didn't time gate the steps. They were released it on this day. It's all available right then and there. I like that makes it a little bit nicer.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And that was such a fun strike, wasn't it, Sin?
Absolutely not.
My favorite strike ever.
Although, how many times can they repurpose that strike? For Acrius, they did it for this. I'm sure they did it for something else I can't think of right now. That strike has been overused.
Yeah. Oh, please bring back the Undying Mind Strike. I mean, you know, we always joke about wanting to have a raid come back like Crotar Vault of Glass, and that's honestly, if I have to think deep down, it probably never happen, at least not right now with the way the game is. Maybe next year or something, who knows if they do a persistent game, but I think a strike coming back like that is more likely to happen, hopefully. So
you're more likely to get that than the raid.
Yeah,
but they've also brought back a lot of stuff from Destiny 1.
Yeah, I mean, so that's actually in the story. It is pretty cool. Well, anything else we want to talk about Destiny before we kind of move on to just our closing thoughts for this week?
I do want to mention I got the Vigilance Wing Catalyst this week, along with the Leviathan's Breath, and I finally got that rocket launcher that everybody got during the first week. I did knock out those, and as far as getting them, I got those all set up. But I still got more to do as far as the pinnacle weapons for Undying. If I'm going to be going for this, which it sounds like there's a few people are like yourself, I need to get on it with these pinnacle or ritual weapons, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah, we really do. I mean, the hardest part for me personally will be getting the scout kills. But I think if we hit it hard, then it's not like it'll take all season to get, but you really do have to kind of like strategically think about the main things you need to do is consistently be in Vex Offensive for at least a while to get your different type of gun kills. And then you need to consistently be working on either Strikes, Crucible, or Gambit, what those requirements are for those ritual weapons. Because those are the things that'll take the longest. Everything else is just kind of incidental if you care about that title. And I think this title is a fair amount of work, but it's nothing that's like that crazy. And it's definitely more doable. There's not like crazy RNG like the Wayfarer title, which I do have and a lot of people have. And a lot of people were very salty, including me, trying to get that with some of the RNG aspects of grinding for that. So at least with this title, it's doable if you just, you know, hit your head to it. So and push forward.
Yeah, closing thoughts on Destiny. Overall, I'm fairly happy with the Crucible, even though my Iron Banner experience wasn't the greatest because I was pretty underpowered. There were a lot of 960, and I even had a 980 guy in there I was playing against, just murderizing me. And as far as the game itself, I just love that anything I do in Destiny, I'm a big Battlefield fan. And I loved how you got points in a game for doing anything, whether it was supplying ammo, an assist, burning a guy over here with a grenade, but you didn't kill him, still got points. Anything you did in the game, you're getting credit for, and I love it. I love it. Keep it up, Bungie.
Yep. Excellent. Well, Gator, the one question that we like to ask our guests that has nothing to do with Destiny is, please give us a couple songs. No, I'm just kidding. The one question that we like to ask is, what's your favorite dessert?
He threw me off. I panicking.
Should have just ran with that.
For half a second, I was panicking because I'd asked for about. I said, "Okay, when do I add? Where do I put my songs I want to add?"
The Spotify playlist.
Right? No. Okay, and I loved it. He said, "In my recycle bin." I loved it. No, seriously. Every time I go to a restaurant, the first thing I ask is, "Do you have any key lime pie?" Being from Florida. I love key lime pie, so that's my favorite dessert.
Ooh la la! Now, have we had someone else say key lime pie? I believe, Sin.
We did. Yeah. Now I'm gonna have trouble remembering who.
I should have the list up in front of me.
Do you actually have it written down?
No, I can get it written down, but I don't have it in front of me right now. So sorry about that. So, but that means you are in good company, Gator.
I love key lime. I actually got a little mini one. I was at the grocery and I got a moment of weakness. I'm trying to lose weight. I'm in the weight loss competition. And I said, it's only the size of one piece. Yeah, I'm getting it. I'm splurging. And I brought it home and it was gone in no time. Yeah.
Well, that sounds very tasty.
Yep. Very good.
Excellent. Well, yeah, boy, now I need some key lime pie.
Yeah. I just thought about it and I'm like, that does sound good.
The grocery store.
I think all I have is vanilla and chocolate ice cream in the freezer. I'm like, nope, I'm out. It's not for me.
Hey, this may be a silly question, but being in Florida, do you have like local producers of like probably like better quality local orange juice compared to like what we all get, the quote Florida orange juice?
Yeah, we get, there's a farm here that we get fresh squeezed and it's not from concentrate. But I'll be honest, California and Florida is where most of the orange juice comes from in this nation. And our groves here in Florida have slowly been dying out from cold weather. We've been having a lot of frost issues, not the last two winters, but before that we had a lot of crop die out, and that raises the price of orange juice, of course. But
yeah,
you can definitely get some good sources of fresh squeeze, but I think it's available everywhere now. I mean, the way distribution is now, I don't think there's an issue. I think everyone can enjoy fresh squeeze stuff now.
Yeah, no, that is true.
Now, fresh oranges, it's different.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I grew up in Southern California, and in my grandmother's house, she in her backyard, she had orange, lime, avocado, in something else trees. And we were spoiled. We could just take oranges and put them through the juicer and have it right there.
That's so nice. An avocado tree. I'd love to have an avocado tree.
Oh, I know. Especially since.
What about a black horse and a cherry tree?
What? Well, I didn't have that. No cherries in Florida. They don't survive in this heat.
Oh, man.
Well, before we get talking about food too much, I guess we better wrap up the show. But, man, what a pleasure it was to have you on this evening. Now, we just have a little bit of housekeeping at the end of the show. We try to keep it short. Doesn't look, Sin, like we have any new reviews this week.
We failed.
No, but we've had a lot of great reviews in the past. So thank you, everyone who have left reviews. And please continue to do so, because as people always tell you, it does help us get found. But the fun thing is you get to write a review and we get to read it on the air. So if you are so inclined to do that, please leave us a review on iTunes and we'd much appreciate it. Also, we have our lovely Discord that you can join. If you go to our website, you can click on the About Us page and join the Discord. And for those who haven't joined a Discord, it is really the best place to find people to play with. You can be a lurker at first if you're not sure. Just join up, say, hey, you know, I need help with this quest or whatever, and undoubtedly there'll be someone to help with that. And Sin needs help a lot too, so you can always help him with stuff. And then...
You are not wrong, sir.
Hey, we all need help with stuff. We need help with Last Wish now, right?
Yeah, apparently.
We'll get someone to pull us through that. That's it as far as housekeeping. So yeah, it's been a pleasure. Gator, thank you so much for coming on. It's been just natural talking to you, and we had a lot of fun, and hopefully you had a fun time too.
Oh, I was pumped when you guys asked. I love great conversations tonight. I just love hanging out, just talking.
Yep.
Especially Destiny.
Oh yeah. We all know that, as we're crazy Destiny fanatics. Well, please let everyone know exactly how they can find you, because we've talked up your podcast. So let everyone know your contact info for you and your podcast.
Sure. You can reach our name of our podcast is Guardian Downcast. We're at Guardian_D_cast on Twitter. We're at GuardianDowncast@gmail.com if you want to email us. I can be reached on Twitter at Todd the Gator, and on Steam and PS4, I am Gator, GATR, with underscores in between. And on Xbox, I'm not there as much as I like to be, but I'm Gator, GATR, GDC, is how you can reach me there. Yeah, we're just three dads that talk about Destiny, and we also discuss what we've been watching through the week. And the coolest part is we get to interview community members that maybe we didn't know much about that we are hoping to shed light on and let everybody else know about. So, yeah, that's it in a nutshell.
Yes. Excellent. Beautiful. Thank you for all that. Sin, where can people find you?
You can find me on the interwebs at twitch.tv/sinmedia. Sin is C-Y-N, typically once a week on Saturdays. You can also find me on the Bluebird at sin_media. And don't forget, check me out reading the TWAB once a week with Destiny Digest. Kingsley, it's late. Let's get to bed.
All right. I have a spot in bed just for you. But before that, you can find me.
Oh, giggity.
Giggity. As Kingsley Mac on PlayStation and on Twitch, where I occasionally stream if I'm raiding. And you can find me as MC Kingsley on Twitter. You can find our show through our website at theguardianhub.com. And also on Twitter as The Guardian Hub. So, everyone, thanks again for tuning in this week. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye.
Cheers.